What up, what up, what up? Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of AzBrock's Bengals Thoughts, presented to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. My name is Chris AzBrock, and I am here to discuss a few days late. I will admit that I had a couple things that came up, but here to discuss the Bengals 25-22 overtime loss to the Green Bay Packers that took place at Paul Brown Stadium on this past Sunday. What a crazy game it was. Let's be real. Let's touch on that part of it first. I mean, this game was certainly one of the craziest football games that I have ever seen. It was a beautiful day, warm. It was about 80 degrees. You know, it was a little windy. We had a breeze of about, according to the game notes here, it was about 8 miles an hour coming out of the south. It did gust to 12 miles an hour at some points, but it did swirl in the stadium, which will come into play, you know, as we kind of discuss later on. But this was a game to where, let's be real, when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals and where they are, they went toe-to-toe with one of the top teams in the NFL. Now, let's be real on it. The Green Bay Packers are... they were ravaged a little bit with injuries, but they still have Aaron freaking Rodgers, and they still have Devontae Adams. And it was evident that Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams were not to be stopped in this game, period. And that's one thing we saw in this game. Now, I've been lucky enough, being a Bengals season ticket holder, you know, for as many years that my family's had them, I've been blessed enough to see some of the greatest players that have ever graced this league, at least in the last, 20, 30 years. I'm truly lucky. Aaron Rodgers is another one of those players that, man, you watch and you just simply shake your head in awe of what he brings to the table. And that's exactly what we got in this game on Sunday. Again, the Bengals, and this game was certainly, it was interesting. Let's be real, like I said. But when you look at the stats, the individual statistics throughout this game were definitely interesting. It was one to where you have to sit back and you just have to shake your head and say, you know what, give props to the other team. That's what we're going to do in this one here when it comes to the Green Bay Packers and some of their performances in this game. For the first time all season, the Cincinnati Bengals gave up 100 yards to a single rusher. That was Aaron Jones, the fifth-year running back out of UTEP. That'd be Texas El Paso. He rushed 14 times for 103 yards, an average of 7.4. His longest was 57 yards at one point. A.J. Dillon rushed 8 times for 30 yards. His longest was 17. That was an average of 3.8. Total, the two running backs on the ground, the Bengals gave up 22 rushes for 133 yards. Overall, not a bad stat combined. However, it's only from two guys. Therefore, that is a little rough. Aaron Rodgers, again, one of the greatest quarterbacks to play the game. He's proven it time in and time out that he is just a phenomenal quarterback. He was 27 of 39, 344 yards. He was sacked twice for 11 yards. He did throw two touchdowns, did throw an interception on one of the first drives of the game. So that was nice, but he ultimately had the last laugh. But he had a quarterback rating of 102.9. And again, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and we saw why, he is so, we saw why he's so good. He flung it around, like I said, 27 completions, but he slung it around 39 times for a total of 344 yards. 206 of those went to Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams continues to show why he is one of the top receivers in this game. Hands down, the dude is an absolute savage. And that's, that's it. Plain and simple. He was targeted 16 times. 11 receptions for a total of 206 yards. 206 yards. That is absolutely incredible. That was a career high for Davante Adams. He did have one touchdown. He had an average of 18.7 yards per reception and the longest of 59 yards. Again, Davante Adams targeted 16 times, hauled in 11. The dude was just, I mean, absolutely unbelievable. And now if you look at the other, you know, the other players in the receiving, you know, in the receiving aspect of it, I mean, it just simply incredible. Flat out simply incredible. The remainder of the guys, which is seven other receivers, had 16 other receptions for the remainder. And that was it. That was it. 19 targets for those other seven guys, and only 16 of those were hauled in, you know, or 16 of those 19 were hauled in. So, again, impressive numbers there for Green Bay through the air. Again, Davante Adams, it did not matter what the Bengals defense did. Davante Adams was getting the ball, and he was hauling it in. That's where you have to give him mad props, because the guy was flat out uncoverable. He was great. I mean, he really, truly was. And, you know, it didn't really matter what the Bengals did defensively. It did not matter. I mean, they had Shinobe Awuzie. They had him kind of blanketing him with safety help over the top. They were doing all kinds of different stuff. And they just, you know, again, got to give Green Bay credit. And that's how it played out. Again, when you look at Jones and Dylan on the ground, Aaron Jones, I said, was the man, you know, on the ground. But again, the Bengals did a relatively good job defensively in shutting down Green Bay for what it's worth. Now, like I said, you know, they gave up a 100-yard rusher for the first time all season. But, you know, with that being the case, a lot of that is attributed to Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion. For what Aaron Rodgers can do, he gets up to line, he can check in and out of things. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, flat out. That's just it. Aaron Rodgers got the job done when it mattered most in terms of, you know, putting his team in the best position to succeed. And that's what it was. Now, unfortunately, it was a couple times to where they couldn't capture more points due to, you know, Mason Crosby, who, you know, he struggled in a couple situations, which, you know, we'll touch on that as well. So, you know, you had, you know, that going on. So, again, this was a game that the Bengals defense overall, you know, they should be relatively happy for, you know, for what it's worth. They did give up a total net of 466 yards. And if you hear all the sirens, I do apologize, as that is the police department running hot out of where I am here. So I do apologize for the little distraction there. So let's look at the final team statistics before I touch back on the Bengals offensively. First downs, that was relatively close. 21 for Green Bay, 18 for the Bengals. 4 on the ground for Green Bay, 16 through the air, 1 via penalty. If you look at the Bengals, 6 on the ground, 12 through the air, none via penalty. So Green Bay won that war there. Third down efficiency, both teams were pretty atrocious on third down. 4 of 11 for Green Bay, 5 of 14 for the Bengals. Both teams were below 40%. Green Bay 36.4%, Bengals 35.7%. Bengals 2 for 2 on fourth down, and they ended up with 367 net total yards on 65 offensive plays. 466 total net yards for Green Bay on 63 offensive plays. Both teams had an average of over 5 yards per offensive gain on average. So again, you know, Green Bay was 7.4 compared to 5.6 for the Bengals. Both teams had over 100 net yards on the ground and over, Green Bay 333 net through the air, 264 net for the Bengals on their end. It was, again, it was certainly interesting. You look at the field goals, and that's where this gets crazy. Mason Crosby, 2 of 5, or no, 4 of 7. I'm looking at red zone efficiency. Jeez. But you look at field goals, 4 of 7 for Mason Crosby. Evan McPherson, 0 for 2. That's where it gets you. Time of possession, equal. Basically, 34 minutes. It was 33 minutes and 59 seconds for Green Bay, 34 minutes and 6 seconds for the Bengals. So just a 7-second difference there. But again, this was a game to where you have to take a step back and just, say, man, this is the one that got away. You have a chance to get it done and beat the Green Bay Packers, and they just didn't do it. And that is, that's one where you're gonna shake your head, and that's what we're seeing here, with the Bengals. And I think that's what you're gonna have to kind of hang your hat on. Again, this was tough. It was a rough one. If you look at the Bengals offensively, Samaje Perine was the guy. Joe Mixon was not fully healthy. As you can tell, he wasn't ready to take on the full workload. Samaje Perine, 11 rushes for 59 yards, an average of 5.4. His longest was 11. Joe Mixon, 10 for 33. He rushed for an average of 3.3. His longest was 10. He did have the touchdown. Joe Burrow, 3 for 11. The tough part there was Joe Burrow, he's got a – I love his, his ability to run, but he also has to play it somewhat smart and not get hurt. And that's where, we're hearing about what we had going on. Jamar Chase, again, was the guy. Jamar Chase has been absolutely nothing short of fantastic all season for the Cincinnati Bengals. How can you not say this guy is not the rookie of the year already? I mean, this guy, 10 targets in this game, 6 receptions, 159 yards, an average of 26.5. He did haul in a long of 70. That was a touchdown pass. T. Higgins, 5 of 7, targeted 7 times, 5 receptions for 32. Samaje Perine, 4 for 5 for 24. Same exact stat line for Tyler Boyd. C.J. Uzomah, 2 for 2 for 16. Chris Evans out of the backfield, 2 for 2 for 15. Drew Sample, 2 for 4 for 9, and Joe Mixon, 1 for 1 for 2. On Tate, 0 for 1. And one of the interceptions that Joe Burrow threw was in the past, that was attempted for Auden Tate. Joe Burrow finishes 26 of 38 for 281 yards. He was sacked 3 times for 17 yards, two touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Quarterback rating of 85.5. Joe Burrow, not his best game. He was under pressure a good amount of the game. Unfortunately, just could not get it done. Again, we saw the back and forth in the last part of the game to where it just unfortunately did not work out, and the Bengals could not get it done. Again, tough sledding. I'm going to touch on Drew Sample real quick. Why in God's name Drew Sample is a focal point in this offense to be targeted 4 times offensively? Stunning to me. Absolutely stunning to me. It's ridiculous that he's a target offensively for Joe Burrow in the passing game. Drafted him in the 2nd round as a blocking tight end. The guy was, let's be real, he's just not it, folks. He's just flat out not it. So that's a little ridiculous to me that they were continuing to go to him. 4 times baffles me. He dropped one, fell over himself, and fell to the ground for an incomplete pass. One that you just shake your head at. And one of the guys who sits in a couple rows in front of us, Artem, telling his crew, they're longtime season ticket holders as well. Good old section 149, 148, depending on where you are in our section. But he goes, he's just like Gronk, but a little slower. That kind of made me chuckle throughout the game, and that was true. But again, that was our 2nd round pick, guys. Still one of the most stunning picks in Bengals franchise history was that one in the second round. And we saw why. He was a much later round talent than many teams saw. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Again, overall, statistically, just Bengals have had better days. You know, it is what it is, unfortunately. The largest lead for each team, largest one for Green Bay was 9, largest for the Bengals was 7, and that was the 7-0 lead in the first half that the Bengals had. Overall, throughout the game, largest lead was 9 and 7 for each respective team. The Packers had 4 drives where they were leading. The Bengals only had the 1. Time of possession while leading, Green Bay, 16 minutes and 50 seconds of time of possession while leading. The Bengals only 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Bengals had 5 drives where they were trailing. Green Bay, 2 drives where they were trailing. Time of possession trailing, 6 minutes and 46 seconds for Green Bay compared to 17 minutes and 7 seconds. The game was tied once outside of the original 0-0 scoreline. There were 3 lead changes throughout the game. Man, the longest plays for the Bengals, you saw, you know, outside of that 70-yard touchdown pass that went to the right with 50 seconds left in the half, it was, you know, it was 28-21. So Bengals only had 3 plays total over 20 yards. And that's, like I said, if you've listened to this before, you've heard that the, you know, I really look at, you know, plays over 20 yards. And, you know, the Bengals only had 3 of them, and they were all passes. If you look at Green Bay on their side, 8 plays total for them were over 20 yards. 59, 57, 34, 24, 24, 22, 20, and 20. And one of those was a rush. And that was the one Aaron Jones in the fourth quarter on 1st and 10 at the Green Bay 25. He rushes for 57 yards. That was one with 3:27 left on the clock. That was a little tough. That was one you didn't want to give up. Ultimately, it didn't hurt the Bengals because they were able to, you know, again, in the back and forth there, you know, this was one, again, was a tough one to swallow for the Cincinnati Bengals. You have a chance to take down the Green Bay Packers, and unfortunately, they just flat out didn't do it. And that's, you know, that's the frustrating part of this one. In the first half, you're down 16-14. When you are, you know, when you go through, you know, the way the game kind of played out, it's, you know, one that the Bengals, you know, they take the lead 7-0 on the Samaje Perine 4-yard touchdown reception from Joe Burrow. Evan McPherson, you know, he capitalized with the extra point there. That was a 10-play, 51-yard drive that took 4 minutes and 58 seconds. You know, you're up 7-0, and the place was rocking. It was feeling good. Everyone was happy. Aaron Dillon, you know, he goes, you know, I mean, he was one that, like I said, was A.J. Dillon. I'm sorry, not Aaron Dillon. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon in the second quarter brought the Bengals brought the Packers you know, in a position to tie it on the 12-yard pass from Aaron Rodgers. You know, you're feeling good still. Packers have a chance tied up. Mason Crosby hooks it left, or hit the left upright. I'm sorry, I remember that one. Yeah, that one hit the upright, went left. And that was a 7-play, 75-yard drive that took 4 minutes and 26 seconds. The Bengals are still up, so you're still feeling pretty good about it. And the way things are going, Packers come right back, get a 44-yard field goal from Mason Crosby on a 6-play, 36-yard drive that took 2 minutes and 20 seconds off the clock. And then, you know, things are getting a little rough with the following scoring drive that took 9 plays, 81 yards, that took 4 minutes and 48 seconds off the clock, and that was the Davante Adams 5-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. Mason Crosby converts the extra point. you know, you're up 16-7 with a minute 7 to go, you're thinking, okay, now what are we going to do? We've got to get back in this game. And the Bengals did just that. Two plays, 75 yards, 31 seconds off the clock. Ja'Marr Chase, 71-yard touchdown reception from Joe Burrow. Evan McPherson tags on the extra point. It's 16-14. You're feeling pretty darn good about yourself. In a first half where you were dominated in the first half. You were really lucky to be in the position that the Bengals were in that first half, because they were flat out dominated. The Bengals only had three drives in the first half. In the first quarter, the Bengals were flat out dominated. Two punts and a touchdown, and then two more punts and a touchdown. So you had four drives where it ended up in a punt, and then two touchdowns. When you look at Green Bay's punt, interception, punt, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, and then the end of the half where they just went and you know, got out of it. You're feeling pretty good to only be down 16-14, like I said, in a half to where you were flat out dominated, especially in the first quarter. Statistically, 13 total first downs for Green Bay, 6 for the Bengals. Third downs, Bengals didn't even convert a third down offensively. They were 0 for 5. Total net yards, they were outgained 239 to 142. Both teams were not getting it done through the or on the ground. 42 yards on the ground compared to 25 on the ground for the Bengals. Passing is where, you know, this one really kind of got away, was the 197 to 117. But again, average drive start, the Bengals had better field position. Both teams converted 100% of the time on, you know, in the red zone. Bengals should have felt really good about themselves being in this game in that first half. Like I said, despite being statistically, you know, relatively, you know, dominated, you know, pretty handily on that. In the second half, wasn't much. It truly wasn't. When if you look at the whole, you know, grand scheme of things. Only one drive in the third quarter that resulted in points, and that was a 12-play, 56-yard drive that resulted in a Mason Crosby 44-yard field goal. It's 19-14. The Packers then get the ball back, or in the fourth quarter, they go on a 7-play, 81-yard drive. Last 3 minutes and 48 seconds, that was a 22-yard field goal. So with 11:20 to go, the Bengals are thinking, okay, how are we going to get this going here? They get back. It's 22-14. The Bengals proceed to go on a 13-play, 75-yard drive that lasts 7 minutes and 53 seconds. Joe Mixon, 8-yard touchdown run. And, you know, you get the touchdown. You're within two. It's 22-20. You go for 2 points, and it's the pass in the back of the end zone to T. Higgins. You convert that. You're right back in it now. It's 22-22 with 3:27 to go. And it goes back and forth and ends up in what we saw, like I said, in one of the craziest games that you're going to see, especially in the way it goes. You know, the Packers, you know, it was a touchback on the, you know, on the next kickoff, on the preceding, you know, kickoff. The Packers go 57 yards. That was the Aaron Jones. That was the, you know, the run off the left side for 57 yards. And then A.J. Dillon, you know, up the middle for no gain. Got an incomplete pass. And then it was another incomplete pass. So you're right there, 36-yard field goal at the Cincinnati 18-yard line. You know, you get all the way down to the Bengals' 18-yard line. They run it down. They run the clock down to 2 minutes and 16 seconds. Field goal's no good. So Mason Crosby, who was statistically one of the best kickers in NFL history, couldn't get it going. This is where he missed. He had already missed an extra point earlier in the game. Now he misses a 36-yard field goal. Bengals get the ball back. 2 minutes and 12 seconds left. Joe Burrow, short pass. In the middle of Tyler Boyd, it goes for 9 yards. 2-minute warning. Samaje Perine gets a first down run. Bengals, a nice pass over the middle to Chris Evans for 8 yards. Then you had an incomplete pass, but then you had another completion to Tyler Boyd on third and two. Bengals get the first down. You get another run. And then Green Bay finally stops the clock with 26 seconds left. The Bengals, they settle for a 57-yard field goal attempt. It hits the right upright on Evan McPherson's 57-yard attempt. Green Bay gets the ball back. 21 seconds left. He goes to Devontae Adams on the first play. 20 yards to the Bengals' 33-yard line. With no timeouts, Green Bay, you know, they huddle up to the line. They get a chance. They spike the ball. With 4 seconds to go, Mason Crosby, they trot him out to try a 51-yard field goal after just missing. And he misses it wide left on that 51-yard attempt. And my goodness, it's, you know, we're looking at going right into overtime now off the heels of 3 straight missed field goals. And now you're like, holy cow, okay, Bengals get the toss. Or they win the coin toss in overtime. They elect to receive. First play from scrimmage. Joe Burrow throws it, intercepted right over the middle. Bengals, it's just, I mean, you're kind of thinking, oh boy, it's returned by Campbell to the 17-yard line. It was a 13-yard return. So you're thinking, oh great, here we go. Packers get the ball. Right up the middle, Aaron Jones tackled for a loss. Aaron Jones again tackled for a loss. So now you're looking at a 3rd and 15. And Mason Crosby, they run him out on the 3rd and 15 to, just in case if there's a, you know, a bobble or anything like that, you get the chance to get the ball and, you know, you can fall on it or whatever and still have 4th down to attempt the field goal. Well, it's a 40-yard field goal attempt. He misses wide left. Bengals get the ball back up the middle on a run that gets stuffed by Joe Mixon. Samaje Perine on 2nd and 12 runs it. Then you had a beautiful pass, a 21-yard pass to Ja'Marr Chase he makes a spectacular catch. That was a 21-yard reception on 3rd and 2. Bengals get the first down. Joe Mixon for 4 yards. Joe Mixon again, another run for 4 yards. Joe Mixon on 3rd and 2 at the Green Bay 33. They run it for off the left side with Joe Mixon again, get 1 yard and a 32, or at the Green Bay 32. Bengals elect to attempt a 49-yard field goal. That goes left, wide left. Evan McPherson on that one, he stated after the game, he was quoted, you know, hey, he was celebrating. He's like, I knew it was good when I hit it. Unfortunately, like I said, this was one where, you know, with the game being the way it was kind of a situation where the wind might have caught it and took it left, because it right towards the end, that ball took that left turn and basically it hit the flag on top of the goalpost there, and he missed it, and the rest is history. Green Bay gets the ball, and you know, it goes for, you know, an incomplete pass, and you got a 20-yard pass and a couple runs for negative yards, and then you get on 3rd and 16. The Cincinnati 47-yard line. Aaron Rodgers finds Randall Cobb for a 15-yard pass, gets it, and they reviewed it for what was, you know, in terms of looking at it, whether it was a first down or not. It was not. He was short. Mason Crosby on the heels of 5 straight missed field goals that would have either won the game or taken the lead, in terms of the taking the lead on the Mason Crosby one with 2 minutes to go. 5 straight missed field goals. Mason Crosby was not to be denied on his attempt, on his 4th attempt. He nails the 49-yard field goal, and it was good, and that was all she wrote. And the Cincinnati Bengals fall to 3-2 with a 25-22 loss to the Green Bay Packers at Paul Brown Stadium. Now, this was one, like I said, where the game got away. It's a little frustrating in the totality of the situation, where the play calling from Zach Taylor, again, I'm not going to fully, this game is not on Zach Taylor. I refuse to do it. A lot of people were putting him on blast. I refuse to do that. It comes down to execution from the players. You've got to, you know, players got to make plays in situations. That's what it comes down to. Granted, the coaching staff can put the team in a better position to succeed. I felt Zach Taylor did not do a phenomenal job of that. With that being the case, you know, that did cost the Bengals in some situations. Now, I look at it this way. If Zach Taylor wants to be aggressive, he can be aggressive all he wants, but you got to pick your spots. You can't be aggressive in some situations and not be aggressive in others. You know, if you're going to be aggressive in situations to where it's not warranted, but then in a situation where it is warranted, you don't do it, that's where we have the problem. And that's where I think a lot of the uproar might have been coming from. And that's understandable. And I feel that is, I think it's fully justified. And situations like that, you know, Zach Taylor, I think it might be time for Zach Taylor to give up the play calling duties. You know, you have this dynamic offense, but then, you know, you're running some plays in certain situations. I think it's very inconsistent for the situation at hand. And I think allowing your offensive coordinator to call plays, you do that. Let, you know, just, you know, it's try something different here. See what can, you know, see what can blossom out of it. Because I think something can blossom out of it. That's what it comes down to, and I think that's what it actually really does need to happen in this situation here. I think if Zach Taylor, if he does give up the play calling, by golly, you do it. You know, I think it's time. Like I said, I think there's a situation to where this team offensively will expand and just continue to get better if that occurs. I truly believe that. I think by doing that, that's only going to help this team, you know, moving forward. Because here's the thing, you've got very winnable games in the, you know, in the future here. And then you have a big one against the Baltimore Ravens coming up here in a couple weeks. So with that being the case, you know, it's got to get done. And, you know, you got to get a, you got to get some wins against the Lions, who are winless, and the New York Jets, who aren't very good. You got to get two victories there. Then you got to, you got one against the Ravens and one against the Cleveland Browns at home. Got to take advantage of it. I think taking the reins off of the, you know, or just letting, you know, this team be unleashed offensively, that is going to help. And that needs to be done by Zach Taylor stepping back and letting the play calling duties go to the people who can do it. That's all I'm saying. I don't think Zach Taylor is a bad coach. I think in a situation like that, you let, you know, you let your offensive coordinator do it and let him take over play calling duties. That's all I'm saying. So, again, I apologize for this episode being a couple days late. Again, I had some stuff going on to where I was just unable to record, but I did want to get this episode out. But I will be back on Sunday. Again, I'm hoping to record Sunday. It'll be either be out Sunday or Monday for the Lions recap. So make sure you stay tuned to that. I will also be doing a podcast for the baseball, the American League Championship Series and the National League Championship Series matchups, where I'll be taking a look at those. So that will be forthcoming here. So stay tuned for that. As always, make sure you follow me on Twitter at @IamChrisAsbrock and at @ISCincy. And make sure you check out the website, www.iscincy.com. That is www.iscincy.com. And again, for all your fitness needs, make sure you check out fnxfit.com. That is fnxfit.com. For 15% off your purchase, use the promo code BDIESEL. That is capital B and capital D on that. For all your fitness needs, that is 15% off of your purchase. Go to fnxfit.com. Use the promo code BDIESEL for 15% off of your next purchase. And as always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And stay tuned as I'll be back this coming week for the recap of the Bengals and Lions from Ford Field this coming Sunday. And also, like I said, stay tuned for the upcoming episode where I will take a look at the championship series in Major League Baseball, as I have a little bit of a brain cramp here to end it. So thank you guys so much, and have yourselves a fantastic rest of your week. Take care, everybody.